It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
For one more day, Zen Sports has the VIP Players Club sweepstakes for the month of March. It's the Big Bucket Club sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game next Monday night or $5,000 cash. Plus, 20 small prize winners will earn a $100 bonus bet on the championship game or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet placed in March and every dollar bet in March, and you can even earn 10 times the entries on all parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket sweepstakes. College baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Plus, they're offering multi-sport parlay profit boosts, and you'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. Just see the full terms on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. Let's get into the list. The NCAA tournament. All right, Herd, we had Sweet 16. We had Elite 8. We now, for the second time ever, have all four number one seeds in the Final Four. Of course, the last time this happened was back in 08, also in San Antonio, the year that the Memphis Tigers were included as one of those number ones. I know a lot of people have been comparing this tournament to that tournament, but I think there's a couple of key differences. I actually think this resembles more of the previous year's tournament, where even though we only had two ones in the Final Four, we had two twos, and all the Elite Eight games were as follows. One versus two, one versus two, one versus two, one versus three. So exactly what we had this weekend. When you think about the teams that we've got, when you thought about the tournament so far, kind of what have been your reactions? Because I feel like everybody's kind of processing still what they think about this year.
I love it. I think that the NCAA tournament will always be great. It's not a lot of blowouts. A lot of games that's within single digits. And I think it's been fantastic. Had a lot of kids in it. I think Ole Miss made a great run. It could have went either way with them. So although all the four ones won, it was some scares now. You know, even on the women's side, I mean, South Carolina is not getting out of there quick. They only won by two yesterday to Duke. So it's like because who beat Ole Miss? I think they won by 2 or 4 points.
Michigan State beat Ole Miss.
Okay.
Technically, it was by three because Matt Morrell, your boy, had a heroic shot to cover at the buzzer. Yeah. Matt hit it was like a three from, I don't know, 35 feet. Okay. Where, George, you don't have to explain.
Yeah.
It hit simultaneously the back of the rim and the bottom part of the backboard. and then just kind of like took like a dead bounce and went straight down.
Yeah.
That was a big win for a lot of people out there.
Yeah, yeah. I know that can help and hurt people. And Florida only won by what, like two yesterday?
So Florida was down 14. So Florida was down on Saturday, I think 14 with like basically 5 minutes to go. And I think they closed on an 18-2 run.
Okay, okay.
The play of that game was Clayton had one of the like cooler baller moves where they're down two. And he drives into the lane, and you're thinking he's just going to go all the way to the rack. He just kind of like halfway gets there, and he decides, no, I'm just going to back up, pull out, and fire a three. And he did and took the lead. But like it was almost like, I could take that layup, but I'm just going to go back and shoot a three so that we can get the lead. I mean, the one complaint I think if you have, if you're a Florida fan, is they've kind of played with their food a little bit. But I could also spin that as a positive. What Florida has shown, whether it be the UConn game, whether it be Saturday against Texas Tech, man, they're really tough to beat because I don't know what you take away. Like, Clayton was kind of, he was putting up numbers, but you didn't notice him as much as you had, like, in the UConn game in particular. Mm-hmm. He was still hitting shots, and then at the end, he was hitting all the shots, and then you're like, okay. But you can't really take in their inside game. Like, I just, man, they're just so deep, and they just have so many different ways to beat you. But you can kind of say the same things, like the complaints you'd kind of have about Florida right now, which is playing with their food a little bit. Auburn's kind of done the same, but at the same time, they've pulled away from every opponent in the last three, and they've kind of won going away.
No, I agree with that. But like you said, you don't want to play with it too much because it's Auburn team. What, they're 1-1? Or Auburn 2-1, or they're 1-1?
So I know they won the last one.
Florida won the last one.
Yeah,
I know. Auburn won during the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, or did they not play?
Florida beat them at Auburn in that last week, and that was kind of the game where you're like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when they lost their like last two out of three games at the end of once they had already clinched.
Auburn beat them twice. I'm sorry. Florida beat Auburn twice. No, what? No. So they beat them. They only played once this year. February 8th at Auburn, and Florida won at 90-81. So they've only played one time so far. I don't know what. Maybe I'm mixing up because Alabama played Florida that last week, but I felt like that Florida Auburn game was also later in the season. But no, that was February the 8th. It was a 90-81. That was kind of the first win where I felt like people started going like, "Oh, this Florida team's more than just a good record. Like they're really good. Yeah,
they for real. That's and you know Houston was dominant like they always be. That probably was the biggest." Lead eight gap was Houston. But Jeff, I will tell you this. This Final Four is awesome. And because I know we talking about the Sweet 16. I know we was finna get to this Final Four. The Final Four is awesome. And this is who I have ranked.
Yeah, I was going to ask you to give me how would you rank the four.
So I'm only ranking them by who I want to win.
Okay.
And my relationship with the coach.
All right, let's hear it.
So let me start at four. I know you like to do that.
Yes.
Four is everybody's favorite. My fourth place seed, because me and the coach is just okay, I don't know, is Florida.
Okay.
My third place is Duke.
Yep.
Even though me and the coach cool, he grew up with him. My second place is Houston.
I figured Bruce was going
to
be one.
I want Bruce to win a championship. And the only way he don't win it, I would love to see Kevin Sampson win too. Because those guys, to me, now Houston is in the Big 12 now and they're in a big city. But I think when those guys leave, nobody else is going to be taking consistently Auburn and Houston to Final Fours and Elite Eights and even Sweet 16s on a reg. So the job they're doing, I don't even think people really understand the magnitude of it.
So I definitely think you're right with Auburn. Auburn definitely feels like coach dependent. The one thing in the back of my mind is Houston does have the most Final Four appearances without a win, without a championship. This is Kelvin's second, so I think it's their eighth overall. The one thing I am questioning is if now that they've gotten back into the Big 12, are they committed as an institution to keep on winning? I tend to be like you. I think it's I think Kelvin is maximizing the job, and it's not a bad job by any stretch of the imagination. But it does feel like when you just go look at Kelvin Sampson's history, it's like there seems to be a clear differentiation. He wins everywhere.
No, he's big time. And outside of what he have done, because I was at their facilities like 2 years ago, and it was like, here, we're going to the Big 12. Like, they in Houston. See, that's another thing that's hurting everything, too. The UFCs, the UCFs, the Houston schools like that, they were considered mid-major schools, so they didn't mind putting them in a big city. So the Kansas and certain people didn't have to worry. Florida never had to worry about Central Florida. Kansas never, and Texas never had to worry. Now you're putting them in Big 12s, and you're putting them in the Power Four. Now, Houston facility and stuff is great. And some of the Texas kids there in Dallas and Houston, like, do I really got to go to Kansas? Do I really got to go to Kansas? I could just go to TCU and SMU, got all this money, and the University of Houston, you know, and they could actually stay in real cities while doing it. So that has changed things up a little bit. But I just think what Kevin says, he was even doing it when he was in the AAC. I just think that him and Bruce, I want to see one of them deserve to win a champ. I would like to see one of them win the championship.
This is something I've been meaning to ask you, and I don't think we've ever gotten around to it. How much, and this was on my mind last night because after the tournament game, air was on, and my wife was asking me, how much of this is real? And I was like, well, it's dramatized for a movie. And I was like, the real answer of how Michael Jordan wound up with Nike is they gave him a percentage of the company. Mm-hmm. And no other shoe company was willing to do that. And it made Nike billions. It made Michael Jordan billions. But like, that was their whole deal. It was like, how much of this is real? The other thing, though, that got me thinking about, because you would know this a lot more, how much has college basketball changed just because the shoe companies are not really funneling guys to a handful of schools? Now it doesn't really matter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not really all that tied up because, I mean, Cooper Flagg's deal, is he a New Balance guy?
He's a New Balance guy.
So it doesn't really matter. Like, he, you know what I mean? Like, how much of that relationship has changed?
So it's two things that happen with that. One, shoe companies, I don't think, want to spend as much money. Like, all these billionaires at these schools, I don't think they want to go in. Like, they was cool when it was under the table giving this kid $50, $100. I don't think they want to come give this kid $1 million. This kid ain't making them no money. You feel what I mean?
Especially when they don't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, is this guy going to be? Like, now it feels like actually for them, it feels like it's probably a better system. It's, all right, we're not having to spend all this money early, and then we can kind of target the guys that we think are going to be good when they're actually in the NBA.
Well, I will say this about Nike. Like, DJ Wack, is certain people, what they do now is forget the school. They still, no matter where you go, they're still giving guys NIL deals.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to get more aggressive at it because they really can't wait. Because you take a kid, because Nike thing was like, oh, it's early, but we'll do it in college now with the new rule. Well, you got like a New Balance and Puma. New Balance come get Cooper as a senior and give him a long-term deal. Now Nike is aware of that because that's not, we are wait, coach. Nike wants you in their shoes by the time you touch the NBA. Now they got to wait probably 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And you know every shoe company going to have a right of refusal in their thing. Now they would probably have to overpay to get them, you know, so
yeah.
they have
because
to be.
Because they're signed somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah, they have to be careful on that. Now, to your other question that you're probably not thinking about, nobody wants to be a side man or a side chick.
Yep. But, story of my life. Yeah, continue.
But what the shoe companies have done has lowered their standards a little bit.
Yeah.
People probably wondering, where is Harry going with this? Well, it was a time when you signed a real, they wouldn't call NIL, but when you signed a real shoe deal, that's all you can wear. Now they have, like with a Cooper Flags, you couldn't even go, like, if you signed with Adidas back in the day, you had to go to Kansas, Louisville, Rick Pitino. Now they got it set up where you just got to wear our stuff outside. So the outside of what your school, we're not going to over-trump your school. We're not even going to fight against that no more. Outside of, like, because Duke is Nike. So Cooper Flags wearing Kobe's and everything. Outside of any Duke appearances, you got to have on New Balance. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's just like when he's street, because I think didn't Harden run in, I think when Harden signed his big deal with Adidas, because Harden had been Nike, right?
Yep.
He signed his big deal with Adidas, and I felt like the night before his deal went into play, like he was photographed in Jordans.
Some
and everyone
Jordans,
was like,
yeah, went
and everybody's
out
like, what is this mean? Is this trouble in paradise? Like, no, it's just, it was.
He waiting on the big truck to come, and he got to throw all that out. So that's another thing. With them not going against the schools, and it actually helps the New Balance, the Pumas, all them, because most schools in America in college are Nike or Adidas. So if you're not Nike, really most of them are Nike. So if you so why go against it, still sign this kid and just say outside that? Because at the end of the day, it helps New Balance too. Like I said, the side chick thing, if you take your feelings out of it, it might be two New Balance schools. Why do I want him going there? He's going to make us more money at Duke. Duke going to be on TV.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
To make,
he's a bigger star playing at Duke than he is. I don't even know schools that wear New Balance, like have a New Balance deal.
I think they just gave Boston College. It's like everything in that area because that's where it's at.
Yeah, New Balance. Yeah, the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, though, the other question I've had, though, is so is Kansas to you still as good of a job as it was 10 years ago?
Yes.
And it's simply just because they care.
It's it where Bill, well, I don't
know.
I know
Bill's a great coach, but like, because when everyone was asking, like, what's happened to Kansas, I tend to believe they kind of bet on the wrong horse.
Yeah.
Like, they bet on Hunter Dickinson. There's not a huge history of Hunter Dickinson elevating programs, but he's a good player. Like, you bet on it. And so I'm just not willing to say Kansas is done. But in the back of my mind, I am sitting there wondering, it's like, all right, is Kansas one of these schools that now that everybody can do it, you don't have the best Adidas guys? It doesn't seem to me that there's also the... It feels like to me like the last 5 years, guys could be Adidas guys 1 year, Nike guys 1 year.
Yeah.
Puma, if they pay enough. Like, yeah, it doesn't seem to be, it's like, oh, this guy's an Adidas guy and has been since eighth grade.
For sure.
That doesn't seem to me to hold true. So, like, I was wondering, like, is the Kansas job as easy as it once was?
Well, before I get to the Kansas, I'm going to say be yourself, right? So in this college game, that's why it's so tough, or it's tough in coaching, because I have heard people question be yourself. It's funny, I was on with Jason and John probably even last year, and they kind of got on me about, here, you living in the past, why are you talking about Izzo? Now Izzo is back in the elite. I'm telling, like, certain coaches, we got to stop disrespecting because of a year or two. Like, Bill Self is top three college coaches, period. Did he make some bad investments on the wrong players? Now, granted, you're only getting players for a year or two now. I think Hunter was straight. But, and Adidas still do help they kind out some, because he's getting, and some people even got this guy as the number one NBA prospect. Darren Peterson is going to Kansas. You know, AJ got more, but I don't know if you know, towards the end of the year, it's quite a few GMs that's been talking about Darren. I don't know if you didn't keep up with
Well,
Darren
it just Peterson. Seemed to me like, the BYU kid got more because he was willing to go to BYU.
Mm-hmm,
it's like
mm-hmm.
BYU had to pay more to get him, and that's why he wound up getting more. I didn't necessarily take that as a sign of, like, I'm sure he's a great player, but I took that more as a sign of that was what it cost for BYU to get him.
No, for sure. For sure. No, so, no, I think Kansas is a great job. Kansas will always be a top five job. And Kansas, they're not hurting no NIL basketball. I mean, like, Bill even, Coach Self, even admitted, like, the dating process is moving so quick, but they have to be more. Because when they did the ranking of the portal guys last year, he got like 3-4 of the top 10.
Yeah.
From what the people who ranked it. Now, whether they fit the system or someone wasn't as good as he thought. Like, he had my kid LeBaron Fallon. It was so deep, LeBaron had to decommit.
Yeah.
He like, but in reality, he turned out to be better than all of them. He's going to be a top 20 one and done kid. You know, so.
Yeah.
You early on, you're going by, you know, rankings and this and that, and you got to get them in the gym. And that's the problem with this portal, too. Like, you're currently piecing people together, and everybody can't live their life. Like, some coaches are used to it, but everybody will have to get to it.
Well, it also feels like in this era, because even Kansas is putting a team together year to year. Okay, let's say I bet on the wrong guys, but I got some other guys in here, and I want to start working towards next year. Well, now you've got a dilemma of, all right, am I just working on, you know, am I working on next year? Am I elevating these guys so that their price will go up now? It's like everything is being managed like it's a business rather than it's not being managed like I'm trying to build my program. Because inherently everything is year to year. And so I can imagine there are other considerations of, all right, well, if I turn on this guy, does that kill my locker room? If I also turn on this young guy, you know, does it make it harder for me to retain him? Like, I know most coaches are so obsessed with winning that they would probably just end up playing. But, like, I can see where all of these questions are in your head and you're struggling to go about how is the best way to win this season because that's all I'm guaranteed.
Exactly. And then when you say business, you left out one point, Jeffrey. Then what if you do play this guy, but the guy you got to sit, you still got to pay him $20,000, $40,000, $50,000, right. $60,000 a month.
Yes. And I'm paying him to not play.
Exactly. So that's also in the equation.
Well, like that's kind of the other thing, because there's obviously been a lot of discussion with this tournament of, is NIL killing the sport? Is NIL killing Cinderella? Whatnot. I mean, it makes sense to me that it's going to be a lot harder for mid-major programs.
For sure.
Because every time you get a good player, that player's moving up. Just like when you have a mid-major coach that has a big season, he moves up. It's no different. So I don't fundamentally have a problem with that. The problem that I keep seeing is the obvious solution that we can all come to grips with, because I don't know of anyone that reasonably argues this sport makes so much money, we just got to get back to where we're not just paying them and it's a free-for-all. I don't know of anyone that is a reasonable human being that believes that. But most everyone believes the solution to this is we have to get guys under contract and we have to have some type of roster organization where it's not just every single day a kid can be a free agent. The problem, though, is I don't know how we get there, because every single solution I keep seeing, my first thought is that won't stand up in court, because in the end, like, it has to be collectively bargained, and I just don't see, if I'm a player, like, I've thought about these terms. Don't you think if LeBron, like, let's go to peak LeBron, prime LeBron. If he could have been a free agent every year, don't you think he would have?
In college?
No, in, like, let's say a 31-year-old LeBron. They can't do it because the NBA has a collective bargaining agreement and you have contracts. But if LeBron could have been a free agent every year, it makes sense to me that LeBron would do that, because every single year he would get paid more. He knows he doesn't need to get locked into a long-term deal. That gives him some leverage over the organization. The reason why I keep bringing it up is if I'm a college player and everyone goes, well, why not just get a CBA? Why not get contracts? Why would I want that? I get to be a free agent every single year. The only people that it really benefits are people that get hurt and you'd still be under contract and you're not worried about getting cut because I got hurt. But that's just not the way young guys think. They just think I'll get the next one. And I'm not saying every single kid is just out there chasing the almighty dollar. Like, I think PJ Haggerty is basically saying, make me a competitive offer, which honestly makes sense. Like, for instance, if some other radio station were to come after me, I am happy where I am. Make me a competitive offer. Like, it doesn't have to be the highest dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I just kind of think, though, if you're, it's not clear to me that the players want to form a union. A, that feels like, holy cow, how do you unionize 330 college teams with players? Like, that's a difficult process. On top of that, I would warn them, if you do this, you're going to get killed in the first labor negotiations, because that's, like, you're just not going to be organized. You'll get killed. Like, the thing that makes the most sense to me is getting guys under contract, but, like, I don't know in practice how it happens.
Yeah, and I tell you this, Jeff, actually, the LeBron stuff, he actually do that. But
I mean, later he started doing that. But I'm saying, like, in his peak, he was still signing the other.
He was signing them, but LeBron would always have, like
2-year options.
Yeah, opt out 1 year, and he just keep read on. But the difference with that is, LeBron ain't wishy-washy. He actually had houses and family that he didn't want to keep moving. So, you know what I mean? And stuff. But I'm with you. I mean, on the business side, I know coaches get, but they killed the Maryland coach this morning at Villanova. They did a segment, he just said 4 days ago, about kids moving the portal to destroy the game. And then they was like, for more money, and they was like, but you just took a job days later for more money.
Yeah, Kevin Willard is not going to win the PR battle on this one, because my whole deal is, it's one thing to be upset, but basically when he just made everything so public, it got to the point where even if he wanted to go back, because of how he had handled the situation, the fan base has already turned on him. Mm-hmm. And so maybe, like, in the end, maybe that's his PR move, because I'm not convinced. I trust Giannotto knows one of the guys that reports for Maryland, because he's from the area. And he's like, this deal had been done for 2+ weeks.
Mm.
And so I think a little of the, well, he wants to return, but now it's now getting difficult to return. I think that was like a save face move. But it's like, to me, it's one thing to apply a little pressure publicly, and then it's another thing to essentially do what Kevin Willard did, which was throw your school under the bus, throw your fan base under the bus. When, like, and all this is public. Like, everyone's got an agent. Everyone knows how to apply a little pressure. Everyone knows how to sweeten the pot.
Let me ask you this, Jeff, because I've been around college hoops a while, right? And I guess Villanova will give a little more money, but do you feel Villanova is a better job than Maryland? Because it's kind of like two odd schools. Villanova got some history. Jay Wright was Jay Wright. But with the whole, you know, the Big East going to have money. But one thing I say about the Big Ten and SEC is feel like they're going to always continue, no matter what deals come up, get more money, get more revenue, get more of the split. Got a football team that's, you know, always been respectable, Maryland, not winning no championships. So, and like I say, me being a ball, I look at them as, you know, Villanova might be a little higher, but since, you know, they're lateral, and outside of when Jay Wright was there and back in the days, and maybe since Jay Wright been gone, you know, people could argue that Maryland could be a little better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. Let's talk about it when we come back, because that's a longer answer, because I actually want to pick your brain on it. My inclination is against the popular norm, but I want to see if you think that I'm off base.
So you have been thinking about it.
Yes, because I think that's a very fascinating question. We'll talk about it next right here when we come back on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Memphis Grizzlies have provided a medical update regarding Brandon Clark. Over the course of several consultations, a unanimous recommendation was made for Brandon Clark to begin a non-operative treatment and rehabilitation plan for a high-grade PCL sprain in his right knee. He sustained the injury, of course, during the Grizzlies game against the Portland Trailblazers back on March 19th. Subsequently, Clark has received an orthobiological injection and is expected to make a full recovery prior to the start of the 2025-2026 season. So really the big update there is no surgery is needed. Went with the old injection. But I wanted to get back to the question that Hurd asked at the end of last segment of what we have been seeing coaches doing, whether it be football or basketball in particular. If they can get to the SEC or the Big Ten, that's where they want to go because that's where they feel like there's more stability. Kevin Willard is the first coach that was at a Big Ten school and was having success. Like, to me, this is not Kevin Willard leaving the Big Ten to reset the clock. This is not Andy Enfield leaving USC to go to SMU. Sharks are swimming. I'm going to go reset the clock. This was until maybe a week or two ago. He could have been the Maryland coach if he wanted to be and be on good standing. And so the question becomes is Villanova a better job? Because I, like you, tend to agree. I'm not convinced that Villanova is as good of a job as Jay Wright made it appear. And I would even argue it may not even be as good of a job as Jalen Brunson and his dad made it appear. Because Villanova under Jay Wright had a lot of success, but if you'll remember, until they start winning the titles, the narrative was kind of like, Mr. can't win the big one. And I oftentimes think part of Jay's problem was I think he is a really good coach, and he took some teams that were probably not as talented and got them to have a lot of success, and they would run up against another good team, and they'd get beat. But with Leon and with Jalen and all those guys that went to Nova, like all of a sudden, they look like Nova. The argument for it could be a better job coming up would be as follows. Villanova plays FCS football, or maybe even D3 football. I can't remember. I think it's Butler plays D3, and maybe they play FCS. I think Nova plays FCS football. But the idea would be, we have no intention of spending the revenue sharing on football that the Big Ten and the SEC schools are going to do. And also included in this argument is Mike Loxley. I mean, Mike Loxley's talked about, no, Maryland's going to be competitive in football. And so maybe there's some friction there. I tend to think that on paper, that idea sounds fine in the sense of, well, since we're not having to share it with football, that opens up more money for us to spend on our basketball program. The problem that I keep looking at is your television deal with the Big East. Everything suggests that there's going to be a massive, massive gap in the amount of money that you're going to have. And so I just don't buy into this idea that's developed the last couple of weeks that these schools that are basketball-only schools are going to have more money because they don't have these football programs they're spending on. I just think when you look at the SEC and the Big Ten and the amount of money that they're getting from everywhere else, I still think that it's still going to dwarf everything.
No, that's what I'm saying. Maybe you say that about, and it would be great, ACC or Big 12, which would still be great, but the Big Ten or the SEC, I mean, unless he become the next Jay Wright, I mean, that's a kind of a tricky move, unless he just wanted to get out. Now, some people, I mean.
Well, that is the real question. So the question was, did he just want to get back to the Big East? And he was at Seton Hall. I don't know. My gut says we're going to look back and realize, like, Kevin Willard probably made a mistake. Because I also tend to believe coaches are also really smart, mm-hmm. and they know when a good job is starting to become something it's not, mm-hmm. and they know the standard is going to be the standard. And if you're Jay Wright, I've made plenty of money. I can go do TV. I can make plenty of money doing that. I tend to believe Jay Wright probably knew, like, the Nova thing probably had an expiration date in terms of being what the fan base had come to expect, which was essentially competing for a national title every year. I think it was going to get harder and harder and harder.
And then you got what UConn is doing now. You got what Rick Pitino is doing now. Shaka Smart kind of got a run going. Creighton basketball is big time. The guy at Georgetown that left Providence,
yep.
he kind of built – Georgetown actually Cooley. Was respectable last year or whatever compared to
the disaster that happened.
Yeah, with my boy Pat Ewing and all them. He was hardworking. But so I just, you know, it's some people that I do, like my guy Buzz. Buzz is a lateral move coach.
Yeah.
Buzz went from Marquette to V-Tech, V-Tech to Texas A&M. Now, this was before the money. Now Texas A&M, I mean, I know they football get a lot of money. I don't know how much they give them basketball because he's still kind of get more of the three borderline four stars and build them up or whatever. But so it's some guys that do that laterally. So I don't know if he that type of guy because I don't know. I haven't followed his journey as much as Buzz. But I just didn't think when they were saying he was going to take it, I was like, it worked. I don't think there's no overwhelming upgrade or anything.
No, I mean, the question that I have is Buzz's interest – because exactly what you said, like he's a guy that when it starts to, there's some heat, he moves and he's willing to take that lateral move. And I think as Mark put it out, he said, Buzz knows he's difficult to work with and that there's a shelf life. I just think it's really, really risky. If you've got one of the SEC or Big Ten jobs and they're committed, now maybe that would be the Kevin Willard side of the story, is that these people are saying one thing publicly, but when I ask to stay an extra night in New York City, they say no. And I that was one of those ones where I kind of saw both sides. Like,
he said that?
Yeah. And like I get him being upset by that. I just also think one of the jobs that I would want the least right now is being the financial person at one of these big time programs that are spending every cent they can make. Because at a certain point, it's like, we have to pay. Like, no, we can't afford to do that. Like, so I'm sorry. Like, no, like, I kind of sympathize on both sides. Like, I don't think it was an insane request. I also don't have, I feel for the person that had to say no. But if I tell you, I mean, the Big East number one media property to offer is college basketball. And there's just no universe where it's ever going to make even a third of what you're going to make in these other leagues. Now, the argument would be, well, we don't have the other sports to prop up. But it's like, guys, it's just going on and on and on. This is the same reason that Florida State and Clemson won out of the ACC. It's not necessarily right now. Like, they're making $36 million. But they recognize it's every single year you're getting passed by $40, $50 million. And it just adds up over time, over time, over time. And while Villanova is a very good school, like, it's not, though, like, Villanova's got somebody like John Ruiz down at Miami that's a billionaire that's willing to say, like, I just want my sports teams to be good. Like, I just have my doubts. And then I'm also just not as convinced that all of a sudden this house settlement's going to make rev sharing a part of it. Like, I think there's still serious questions about whether or not that actually gets implemented.
No, and I hadn't heard his temper tantrum, so I didn't know they said no to New York and small things like that, which that still shouldn't hurt a. That more so hurt his feelings because he's been a millionaire for a decade. You know what I mean?
Well, it didn't seem like he offered to pay.
Yeah. He actually could have did it with ease.
Yeah.
But I think from a pride standpoint, I ain't never really seen no high major coach can't stay over an extra night. I really hadn't heard of that before.
I think the problem was, so it was New York City on Christmas Eve. So they were in New York City. And so because they were going to charter a flight, I think it was to redirect the plane, the hotels, everything. Like, because the hotel in New York City on Christmas Eve apparently was insane.
Yeah, I just still haven't seen no high major programs that really ever said no if a head coach that was, yeah. I
would also imagine this is probably true. I think if he would have asked, like, a few weeks before, they probably logistically could have made it happen a lot smoother, but I would imagine at the time, like, you're asked, like, the game just happens, like, can we stay? I would imagine there's a lot of moving parts.
So
there.
Maryland is not getting chartered?
I think they are getting chartered, but I think the problem was, like, Kevin basically asked right after the game. And so You got to, if the charter, like if the charter is writing on the tarmac, you will be paying something.
Yeah.
That's not a zero. And so I think then you factored in the hotels, like the party, the traveling party, everything. Like I think basically they were like, it would cost an extra $100,000 to stay, whatever the number is. And they're like, we don't have that.
We just can't do it.
Yeah.
Okay. He was a little salty about that and some other things, and he might have made this decision now with a clear conscience.
And, I mean, I would imagine there is probably some saltiness with, you know, Kevin Plank is Under Armour. Maryland's still Under Armour. While Maryland might, the fan base might care about basketball more than football, I know one person that's a Maryland graduate that doesn't care about basketball more than football. That'd be the former football player, Kevin Plank. And I don't know. Like, I think Maryland's also one of those interesting jobs. I will be curious to see who winds up taking it. Because right now, it feels like a lot of people are using it as leverage. Like, if Buzz winds up there, that doesn't really surprise me because of the nature that we've talked about. But, like, I also wonder if everyone just decides, hey, Buzz, like, you're better off at A&M. Like,
I mean, it is in the DMV, though.
It is, but it also, I've just never gotten the sense that, like, DMV kids are, like, Maryland's option number one. Like, I felt like getting Patrick Queen to stay was a huge deal.
No, know what I mean? And then, like, DMV is tricky because even Georgetown don't get kids, but they actually pick Maryland. Because what did the guy before that was in the DMV?
Mark Turgeon.
Where is he?
Mark went, let's see.
Because he didn't get fired, did he? He got fired.
He's still out, yeah.
Yeah, like he was doing pretty good. But it ain't just DMV. It's DMV with a Big East budget that could be pretty good. I mean, now granted, Villanova's in Philly, and Philly is high, you know, a high level with Jersey and stuff. But I just feel like, you know, Maryland got a little bit more, you know, swag right now with the kids and stuff like that. And I will say this, though. Some of the boys basketball players actually like going to football games on their off time and going to, you know, nice. Like, I was telling you, like, when
yeah, that's
I
went one of to the first Ole Miss recruiting game, things. Like, yeah.
Yeah, so some of them like, you know, going to talk to girls and friends. And that's one thing when they're on the off season. And early in the year when they ain't got mandatory weekend. Some of them, like, you know, that's part of some of their college life and stories, too.
But I also think, like, this is an interesting question. Like, in your mind, what are the top basketball jobs? Because I keep thinking, like, we used to always care about blue blood, blue blood, blue blood. It's like, that doesn't seem to me to be the standard anymore. Like, Duke seems to have navigated it pretty well. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. Did Carolina make bad choices? Like, did Hubert take the wrong guys? Or is it, like, because I do wonder also, like, with the league taking a downturn, like, what does that say about the job?
Yeah, I mean, the SEC just, man, the stuff they did, nobody was ready for. North Carolina, one of them weird things, kind of like Memphis. Like, I hear some recruits telling me they offered them some crazy, like, some people say they got NIL money, some people say they don't.
Yeah.
Compared to the, you know what I'm saying? Like, same thing with Memphis. Like, people, like, oh, they got a lot. And then some people, like, they ain't got none. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of the weird. I think the blue blood Kansas is still in good shape. I think Kentucky, they still had, I remember they went to the Sweet 16.
Arkansas still seems to be doing fine.
Yeah. I think what is a good job now, if you're in the SEC, is a good job. I'm going to say that's one because you're going to have some money to play with. I would say 80% of the Big Ten is good. And then after that, you just kind of go Big 12, got some really good schools. ACC, they gotta make a comeback.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to one of our favorites, Mike Tomlin. He said today that he's very comfortable with the idea of Mason Rudolph as the starting quarterback at the annual league meetings. That's why we brought him back. I'm comfortable with that. We've been there before. He's a very capable guy. I'm just willing to bet Mike Tomlin knows that if he's starting Mason Rudolph week one, that the offseason didn't go like he wanted it to. I love Tomlin, but feels like everybody's got to get their... I don't know. The Aaron Rodgers thing's getting weird. It's like, are the Vikings back in it?
It's weird.
They're talking about it publicly, but...
When was it not weird is the better question.
Mike Tomlin will be out the first round of Rudolph. He'll be back doing it.
He'll have a 10-7 team and a first wild card loss. Yeah. All right, my man. Appreciate you being here. Also, my thanks to Jason Munns for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for her, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.